Susie, you're back at the microphone now. And we have as well with us Mandy Evans from the Better Together Animal Alliance. Mandy, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning.
And we want to talk about the home-to-home program, but also anything that's going on with the animal shelter.
Sure.
Maybe clarify something that we were just talking about.
Yeah, so Better Together Animal Alliance was formerly Panhandle Animal Shelter, which was formerly Friends of the Shelter. So we've had three different name changes over the years. But the organization itself hasn't changed. We just went through a rebranding, and the purpose of the rebranding was because Panhandle Animal Shelter really said a couple things that are no longer accurate. One is that Panhandle, like, we only operate in the Panhandle of Idaho. And we really, our scope is broader than that. And the other is animal shelter. And even though we are definitely an animal shelter, we're still housing animals in our care center. It isn't the primary function of what we do. Our primary function is to try to keep families together and keep their pets and people together. So we do a lot of community programs to help ensure that people are receiving proper veterinary care for their pets when needed, and that they're able to feed their pets. So that's why Better Together Animal Alliance kind of came about. But there's been kind of a rumor that keeps popping up, and we keep hearing about, is that people think that we were somehow acquired by a national corporation. And that is just simply not true. We are still a local organization. The management, leadership, all of that has not changed. We're still primarily functioning within our region. So not true. I think there's some confusion because one of the vet clinics in the area was bought out by a national corporation, but not us. We're still your local animal shelter.
Okay. Let's lay that rumor to rest.
Please. And if there's questions about it, call us because we'd be more than happy to talk about it.
Okay. Well, so you had mentioned something when we had a little email dialogue last week. You just kind of dropped this little nugget on me. That your home-to-home program,
yep,
which is an adoption service that helps keep animals out of the shelter by letting people find a home themselves for their animals and connect with people that are looking for pets, is involved with Hurricane Ian.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Explain, please.
Okay. So, and Chris Bessler's very familiar with Home to Home because he actually helped us build it back in 2015, 2016, and then the further expansion of it being a national program in 2017. So when we initially created this program, it was to help people not have to surrender their pet to a shelter because we knew the stress and pressure that it put on these families that truly love their animals, and why not provide them with an ability to rehome their pet on their own? But then after we were going for a while, we realized that there was a need for fostering as well. So in Hurricane Sandy, I don't know what year that happened, and the primary function the primary way that pets were handled in that region was through finding fosters for displaced pets. And all of those pets ended up finding their way back home, or maybe the original owner decided to let the foster parents adopt them. So we thought, well, why not use home to home in the same function? So Code 3, which is a disaster management company, deployed home to home in Florida for Ian so that we could help connect people who had open homes and the ability to foster animals with people who needed a home for their pet rather than surrendering to a shelter. A couple of things are happening right now in sheltering is that it's a harder time to move pets from a shelter. So when a disaster is about to occur, there are organizations that go into those local shelters. They move all of those animals out of the shelter and they transfer them over to other shelters that are not in that area. That opens that shelter up for the stray animals that are found after the disaster and during, and they're placed in that shelter. But because so many shelters right now are full, that transferring them out has become even more difficult. So the more that we can do to help reduce the pressure that is already present in these animal shelters is really beneficial.
And when you're talking about home to home and these pets that are under incredible stress during a disaster, are you finding home, their original owners? Is that part of the home to home, not like getting them back together with their people?
So home to home isn't built to put stray animals, so unidentified animals on the site. This is particularly for someone who owns a pet. So when you look at those pictures and Ian and these houses that have been completely decimated, these people have to rebuild. And what are they going to do? And if they don't have money to pay for a hotel that will allow them to have their pets, they're going to have to make some really difficult decisions. And so this site offers them the opportunity to see if they might find a caring community member who could foster their pets while they rebuild.
So that's perfect. Then it's really another way of supporting the folks down in Florida or North Carolina, South Carolina, as they rebuild through this disaster.
Yes. Yeah.
So how did you connect with, you connected with a disaster agency in Florida? Is that what happened?
So kind of the long story of this is that somebody reached out to us that had been responsible for the outreach in Hurricane Sandy, which is then why we started putting Foster onto the site. Bissell Pet Foundation, they contacted us and hooked us up with Code 3. Code 3 is the emergency disaster group that we work with. And then I was asked to go speak at, it's called NASEP. And I cannot tell you what it means. It's the like National Disaster Animal Response something conference. And I did a presentation. So during this whole thing, I also received a phone call from the state of Georgia to deploy in Georgia so that if the hurricane had the trajectory was supposed to hit in Georgia. So that was pretty cool to have that conversation. So it's like it's been kind of years in the making. And then all of a sudden, now this happens, and we went for it.
So, we've seen pictures of the devastation there. It's pretty bad in Florida where the hurricane came through. How do people there learn about it? They probably disaster agencies kind of point them to it.
Yes.
And then how do you let people know that you need fosters? Do fosters have to be in Florida to help with the Hurricane Ian animals?
So how it works is, number one, we deployed a pretty robust Facebook campaign in the area. So what we have seen is, even in our analytics, that more click-throughs are happening from people who are wanting to foster. So our foster network of homes has grown in that area. What we have not seen are people posting their pets. We only have two pets right now. One is for rehoming and one is for fostering. And we feel like initially that was shocking to us because we're like, why wouldn't people want this? But they haven't had internet. They haven't had electricity. They're all being displaced. So what we think is going to happen is that this is going to be a post-disaster tool when people realize the impact and what's happened to their home and what will need to happen in the future. How the process works is that you have people who go on and they're going to register as a foster home. And then you have people who create pet profiles. So they put a picture of their pet, some basic information. It's the fostering. We send an alert to the fosters saying new pets have been added. They go on, they look at the thumbnails, they look at the profiles, and they reach out to the owner directly. So if they think that that pet is a good fit for them, like we have somebody right now that's opening their home to goats and ponies. Okay, well, if they go through the thumbnails and there's no goats and ponies, they're not going to reach out to them. So rather than the people who need foster reaching out to the foster homes, we did it the opposite. So the foster homes can really read the profiles and decide if it's a good fit. All communication is private between the two parties. We are not evaluating foster homes. We don't evaluate pets.
You kind of leave that on the person that's going to put their pet with somebody.
Exactly.
To size them up and say, hey, this is a good match.
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine you give them some tips, so like.
Oh, yeah. We have a whole exhaustive list of questions that we really recommend. As much as how often do you expect to communicate with this person? If you can't get a hold of the owner, who is the secondary person? And do they have authorization for vet care further if expenses need to be incurred? So, yeah. It's it's between the two parties. It's kind of like Facebook in a sense, but it's more targeted.
Mm-hmm. Is there any support for a foster home to get such as vet care and or food for an animal or animals? Because it can be expensive. They may have the capacity to bring an animal in and love it and care for it, but those expenses incurred might be more than they can deal with. Is there support that way?
So that's why the site is set up. So an agency is who manages it. So even even though it's our site, headquarters isn't reviewing those posts. It's somebody that's on the ground that's deployed it that will review the posts. So that means that if they have foster homes, they're able to provide them with the resources that they can provide. And those resources could be nothing. Like if they can't provide anything, they can't provide anything. But for us at headquarters, we don't really know. We're in Idaho, they're in Florida, so we have to rely on our partners.
Mm-hmm. You know, fostering seems to me that I could see how there could be problems with somebody that takes a pet to foster it, falls in love with that pet, and then the original owner comes back and says, well, I need my dog back now. Does that occur much just in the foster world?
Well, I can tell you that as a shelter, we rely on that. That I mean, I have dogs at home right now. The two of them were foster failures. So, and it's really foster success. But in this realm and from the experience we've had with other emergency fostering or safety net fostering, that isn't something that occurs most of the time because there is a loving home waiting for them, right? We're in a shelter. There's no home. Like you're bringing that dog or cat back to be adopted. Mm-hmm. Or if there's a chance that there is somebody that's interested, that's when that foster will say, oh, no, I'll adopt. I can't let this animal go. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, people are really great at working with those original owners.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anything else you want to tell us about home to home and this unique role you're playing right now?
Well, I can tell you about what's happening with home to home. I mean,
sure.
I think that you of all people would be slightly interested in it. So right now we have over 100 shelters, I think 110 shelters using the site as their primary rehoming resource all throughout North America, and includes, I believe, 2 shelters in Canada. We have about 4,000 to 5,000 animals added to the site every month, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it's really taken off.
Yeah. That's
amazing.
And then we're at a place right now that is we're trying to kind of figure out our sustainable models. We really, no fees are allowed to take place on the site. And that's normally that's going to be your normal way of making money, is that you would charge some sort of adoption fee. And we're really trying to not have to go down that road. But otherwise, yeah, it's growing. We have 1 million page views a month, over 100,000 unique visitors a month. So it's been really cool to see it take off and that people are using it, especially right now when it's just really hard times for people.
You know, you mentioned that you're trying to keep it fee-free. I know there are some for-profit services, right, that try to do this sort of matching thing?
Well, yes. I mean, you've got your How I Met My Dog, like some of these where you take really extensive surveys and you try to meet your match, kind of like a dating service.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And people pay good money.
Tender for Animals. Yeah.
Right. People pay good money for that. And for us, you know, we really want to focus our energy on helping people who don't have the resources to be doing that. Plus, that's pretty extensive service.
Yeah. And I mean, it's driven by a profit motive. It's rather than the fact that somebody's got an animal that they love, they're breaking their heart, their life situation's changed, and they have to give that animal up, and to think that it would go into a shelter. This home to home lets them avoid that.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, because this program, Home to Home, does not charge, it's not a pet dating site.
Right.
How does your organization you know, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of expense to keep what you're doing going. I know you have the thrift store, but there must be other needs and other ways that you fundraise.
Yeah, well, for Home to Home specifically, that is has been sustained through grant funding. So Bissell Foundation, Lays and Animal Foundation, we've got some really nice supporters that have helped us. But as we grow, those expenses and things grow. So we have to figure out how to diversify a bit more. In general, with Better Together Animal Alliance, so if you look at Better Together Animal Alliance, is you know, its own, we're an organization, and Home to Home is just a program off of that organization, but it is operated pretty almost in its own silo. We have one team member that manages it on its own, but otherwise, locally, it's through the, you know, gracious donations of our community, definitely through the thrift store. We're going to start expanding the thrift store. That hopefully will be done by the end of first quarter.
Expansion in what, you actually building onto the
Into building? The backyard, because we just have so many contributions that are coming in, which is wonderful, and we deeply appreciate the community for the support. There's just not enough floor space to house all of the donations coming through. So we don't want to put money into increasing our storage. Let's increase the ability to have product out on the floor for the community to buy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. So anything else you want to tell us about the local animal shelter, Better Together Animal Alliance? We are officially laying to rest this rumor that it's somehow been acquired by a national group. That's not true. Still utterly local, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, at Better Together, we have seen the same trends that other animal welfare organizations are seeing really all throughout the world. And it's more people needing help, more animals coming into the shelter. We really got quite used to, it's hard to explain that. What was happening in the past is that we saw the number of animals being housed every day had lowered. So let's say it was 30 dogs every day. But because we have a lower population, those dogs were getting adopted faster. So we're actually helping a lot more dogs. But when you go to the shelter, you're only seeing a smaller amount, but they're turning over faster. What we're seeing now is a drop in adoptions and more need for intake. So all throughout the country, you're seeing animal welfare organizations that are having to take care of and keep more animals than they've been used to in the past. And that's why you're seeing we're doing free adoptions to try to encourage people to bring these pets home. And then our food bank, I wish I had this number in my head, but we have a tremendous amount of dog and cat food that we provide to the community for free. We've been doing free vaccine and microchip clinics throughout the region to try, again, to keep these pets in the home and keep them happy and healthy. We just did a clinic in Post Falls, and we were supposed to help 100 dogs and cats within 3 hours. We ended up staying there, I think, for 5 hours and helped 250 animals. And people were lined up around the block needing help.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does Post Falls not have a similar sort of service or shelter?
We're the partner shelter for the Post Falls Municipal Shelter. So the Post Falls Municipal Shelter only serves dogs. And once they... you know, they come in, they try to adopt them. If they're not able to adopt them, or they've been there for a certain amount of time, past their stray hold, then they transfer them out. So we're one of their transfer partners, but then we also write grants for them. We help them go to conferences for education. We buy the kennel cleaner, their vaccines. We just do what we can to support them. So they've hosted us twice now to come out and do these vaccine clinics to support their community.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You're throwing your net wide there, Mandy Evans.
Well, I've I've never been one to sit back.
From Post Falls to Florida, yeah.
That's right. That's
and actually, right. Well, you mentioned Hurricane Sandy, but you didn't have Home to Home involved in that one. That was a little earlier. You just observed what was going on there.
Yeah, it's a model, really. We utilize their model. A lot of organizations have been leery about supporting this peer-on-peer fostering because you don't know what will happen. And our argument is, yeah, it's a little scary to not be in control, but we've been doing this with Home to Home for so long that we know that we community members can be good community members to each other. And why not provide the platform to just allow them to connect?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mandy Evans with Better Together Animal Alliance and the Home to Home program.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us anything else before we let you go here?
Oh, please. I could talk all day. I'm like, what do you want to talk about?
Do you still have a podcast going? I haven't checked for a while.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hard to keep those going, but I just want to say we have the best animal support group there with Better Together Animal Alliance. And so thank you for all the hard work. And it is hard work, and it's a work of love and care that you give. And it's really, you're the center of that. So thank you, Mandy Evans.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, but we couldn't do it without. We have an amazing team, really an amazing team, and the community. Mm-hmm. It's the community that helps us.
Yeah. You know, my dog's a shelter dog, Odie. Okay. And he's getting really old now. We thought he was a goner about 6 months ago, but he kind of bounced back, and he's, you know, his back legs are going. He can't hardly hear, but he's such a lovable guy. And I will say that the deer have found out that Odie's no longer on the job out there
because
they're tearing up the garden and the yard and the whole thing. But that's a funny thing, you know. As he's gone down, he can't get out and chase things away. We're seeing more wildlife around. So there's that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, well, Mandy Evans, thank you for coming in and filling us in on something really cool that's going on with both Home to Home and the Beta.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever shortcut it there?
Beta? No, I'm trying to remember. Somebody, Eric Ridgway, had this thing for it, or like a little saying, and now I can't remember what it was. I'm kind of glad that
Better Care
to
Animal Alliance.
ETAA.
Susie, anything you want to chip in before we check out for
just
the day?
Just remind folks, we did just sell two of our KRFY caps to our former guests that were in the studio. But we have an online auction. There's some incredible things at that auction. Go to biddingforgood.com/KRFY. It is our biggest fundraiser, and we need your support. And it's a win-win. You can get some cool stuff, and we want to thank all those that donated items to our auction. Also, again, that's biddingforgood.com/KRFY. Now is the time. Auction closes Sunday at noon Pacific time. Mm-hmm.
Or go to KRFY.org, and you'll see an online auction item right there on the front page in the right column.